Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we recognize you as being the eternal I am, and you are the first and the last and the beginning and the end. Lord, you own everything in the earth and you own the earth itself, and we thank you for the privilege of giving back to you a portion of what you have blessed us with. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, and just to extol your holy name. And so, Father, we pray that these offerings, these tithes, you would just take them and bless them and multiply them, and may they be applied to do kingdom ministry, kingdom expanding ministry, ministry that takes your light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, into this fallen, dark, dark place. Father, we thank you for that is what you have called us to do. We pray, Jesus, for this time as we turn to your word, your holy writ, that you would just open our ears and give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May you just allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our wonderful Lord, we pray. Amen. Last week, we began this leg of our journey in the series titled True Spirituality. And we began a two-part session on how to experience authentic community. And I challenged all of us that to recognize that our vertical relationship with God will always directly affect our horizontal relationships with people, specifically those people in the body of Christ. And so we needed to check our relationship with God, and we were challenged last week to see if our love for God was authentic, if it was genuine, if it was true, if it was sincere, and if it was just absolutely true to the core. And that was last week's challenge. This week we're going to take the next step, and we're going to check that our stepping toward others in the love of Christ is going to be in the proper way, in the proper manner, and in the way that God would have us to. You see, friends, if we truly love Jesus, and we have to love Jesus the most in our life, we must move toward the Lord. And we learned that last week. He moved toward us by stepping out of heaven and coming to earth and basically just divesting himself of all of heaven. And that was his love for you and for me. And so we need to love him and step toward him. If we truly love Christ, that is going to propel us to step toward others in our life. And that's the whole message in a nutshell, is that we need to step toward others in our Christian journey. And friends, I can't tell you how much I'm pained to say this, but many times I speak to individuals and wherever I moved from, the last church that I served, and you speak to individuals and you see their Christian journey just in shambles. And there's a reason for that. Is because they have separated themselves from authentic community. They have separated themselves from experiencing God's presence because God has chosen to work through the church in this world. He's chosen to work through the body of believers, the body of Christ. And if we separate ourselves from the body, then we separate ourselves from the presence of God. And I'll just challenge us this. Community doesn't happen here. Worship happens here. Worship happens on Sunday morning. We gather to worship and to praise and to exalt and extol the holiest of holies, Jesus Christ our Lord. Worship happens on Sunday mornings. Worship can happen throughout the week, but community happens in small groups. Community is designed where we bear up the burdens of one another and we support and we encourage one another and we experience life with one another. And friends, that is exactly where we experience community. So God desires to work through the church, and it's through Trinity United Methodist Church that he desires to work. He desires this church to be a light, a city on a hill, a light shining into the darkness. And if we are going to be that appealing community for those in the community of Gibsonburg, we truly must experience authentic community. And in our text this morning, it's found in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. We're going to see that the one component required for you and me to experience authentic community, last week we saw it was the element of love. This week, it's the element of our duty to the family of God or our duty to other believers. As I mentioned, I brought our attention to the relationship that we have with Christ last week and how it will always impact and directly affect our relationships with others here on earth. This is the key, friends. We will always tip our hand to those who are watching us. And the scariest thing in this world is to be found out. I'm going to just say that again. The scariest thing in this world is to be found out. But what we don't realize is that by our actions, our attitudes, by our speech, and by all of those things that we say and do, we are actually being found out and we don't even realize it. And so if we're going to be authentic, we always will show what we are to those surrounding us by our speech, by our conduct, by our attitudes, by our interactions with difficult people, our lives, and how we live them each day. I can tell you time and time again, individuals that have come to Christ because they saw one thing, and they saw authentic community. I have a family member that was in the military, and he was on his way home every Sunday morning, and he would pass a group of believers that were joyful and that were experiencing true community. And notice I said a group of individual believers, not a church, a group walking one way, going to church, and he was heading home. And what was appealing to him was the fact that they experienced true, authentic community. It led Jimmy to go to them and say, "What do you have that I don't? I want to have what you have." And friends, Jesus said that people will know us by our product of our life and what we produce and the actions and attitudes of what we do. And the exact opposite is true as well. They will know if we are fraudulent. They will know if we're hypocritical, if our lives lack the fruit. Listen to the words of Jesus. "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and therefore, by your fruits, you will know them." I want us to know that people will always know us by what our lives produce. What is the product of our life? We have to ask that. What is the fruit of our life? What are we producing? Do we produce worldly characteristics in people that we come in contact with? Or do we produce and encourage the thriving and budding of the fruit of the Holy Spirit within those people that we speak to and interact with and deal with and come across each day? Friends, people will know us by what our lives produce. And if we are involved in authentic community, we will be exhorted and encouraged to produce good fruit and to produce those characteristics and those Christian virtues in one another. We've heard the term that no man is an island. Well, no woman is an island either. There's none of us that were created to go at this life, this Christian journey, alone. The work of the enemy is to separate, to seek out, to kill, destroy, is to separate us out, to pull us away from one another, because we're going to see in a couple moments that he doesn't want us to experience the contagious, the infectious zeal of the Holy Spirit in one another's life. And the only place that we can be infected with the Holy Spirit is in a small group. Not in church service. You can be fed. This is worship. This is not authentic community. There may be hints of authentic community going on, and I hear hints of authentic community happening within the church family here at Trinity United Methodist Church, and it blesses my heart, it blesses my soul, because that, my friends, is exactly how God has set the church up and how he intended things to work. He did not intend for us to replace authentic community for Sunday mornings. He intends us to be interacted with one another. See, if it's true of our individual lives experiencing authentic community, then we as the body of Christ, also it will be true for us. I think about what is Trinity United Methodist Church known for here in the village of Gibsonburg, and I think about what are the fruits and the characteristics that we as a church as a whole, because many single parts, many authentic groups of community, they all make up the whole. And then Trinity United Methodist Church is going to produce some type of fruit, whether that be good or whether that be bad. And we need to take note of that, and we need to be about what God has asked us to be about. In the words, and I'm going to mention a quote here, and the challenge for us is this: as followers of Jesus Christ, it's vitally important for all of us that we understand what Jesus has called us to. And the component of authentic community, and the challenge is this, that he has called us to be the light into the world and the city on the hill. And this world will beat you down. This world will demolish you, it will trash you, it will just absolutely take everything that you have and throw it away. And what we are standing at, we're standing at the cusp of what Jesus has called us to, and he's called us to be the city on a hill and a light into the world, and to shine the light of men, that being Jesus Christ, into a dark, dark place. And I'm going to quote you a quote from then President Ronald Reagan. And some of you, if you're Democrat, you've checked out already, and I am not here to espouse a political party. What I am here is merely to offer the words of then the late President Ronald Reagan. And he says this, "I know it's a challenge, but ask yourselves, if not us, who? If not now, when?" And you see, the urgency is the same for us today, for the church, for Trinity United Methodist Church. We have a challenge facing us which will take all of us to be a vibrant witness to a watching world. And this challenge is to be an authentic community which appeals to a watching world. You see, any one of us could be stepping into eternity later on today. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And what if experiencing and being that witness of authentic community here at Trinity would be that very witness to draw someone else to Christ? What if we are not that? Then what? What of that individual that passes from this life to the next? Then what? Our text, as I mentioned this morning, is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version, and please follow along as we read this text, beginning in verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Why is this important? This is vitally important since we are told us in Scripture that God created us all in his image and in his likeness. He created men and women. We could go all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2 and we would see that God created Adam in his likeness. He created all of us in his likeness and in his image. But in the perfection of the Garden of Eden, he wired men and women with one factor that we don't often take into account. When God said it is not good for man to be alone, he is stating a statement that even when Adam could commune with Jesus, with God the Father, he was saying that wasn't enough. He was saying that I am creating people to live in an eternal community, in an authentic community. You see, God the Father lives in an eternal community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we're all created in his likeness. And so we were created to exist and live and vibrantly live in authentic community. And when we don't, we will all crave something that nothing in this world will ever satisfy. We'll always be looking for something. We will always be searching for something. Some of us will look to the internet. Some of us will look to text. Some of us will look to all different outlets. You can even go to drugs and alcohol and look for these things. But what is craving of our soul is to be in that intimate connection one with another. That, my friends, is how God wired you. That's how he wired me. And that's a longing that all of us have. And there's nothing else that can satisfy that longing. Jesus can satisfy that longing. But as Adam in the Garden of Eden, walking with God in the cool of the day, he said it's not good for man to be alone. And so if he created us to be in authentic community, when we do not experience authentic community, what do you think that leaves us? It leaves us all lacking. It leaves us all yearning for something. Something that God has created us to want. And I'm not just talking about the marital relationship. I am talking about authentic community that God has created us all to yearn for, to need. The old phrase, no man is an island. No woman is an island. None of us were created to go at this alone. We were created to need one another and need laterally within our church family to need one another. Pastors come and pastors go. And that's fine. We all have a role. However, you need to experience, we need to experience authentic community with one another here. There's going to be a day that I'm out of here. I'll tell you that right now. I told a group not too long ago that I was preparing for the day that I left, the first day that I got here. And that's the very truth. because acknowledging that I am not going to be here forever, we need to experience authentic community within our church family, within our body of believers, within the family of Christ. It's hugely important. It's hugely. And this is the very reason why the scriptures, they admonish us in the book of Hebrews not to forsake the body or the gathering of believers. And this is not just another rule or ritual or a demand that were heaped up on us to do this and be here on Sunday mornings. Otherwise, we're this bad person and we're this horrible individual and this lost sheep out there. No, it's so that we can be spurred on. One of the best memories of my church life was when I was in my early 20s. I was attending a church and I was a part of a vibrant small group. Hear that. I was part of a vibrant small group, and every Sunday morning, if I didn't see all of my friends on that Sunday morning, I would leave and I felt like I missed out because I didn't see Holly or I didn't see Jack or I didn't see Jimmy or I didn't see all of my friends. Friends, that's authentic community. And there were days that I was down and they lifted me up, and there were days that I was up and they were down and I lifted them up. There were days that we exhorted. Every Sunday we exhorted, press on for the goal, keep on toward the prize, move forward, seek God, love people, and move toward Him. And we exhorted and encouraged one another in that realm. But if we are separated out, we're not experiencing that. We never will experience that. And we can't ever expect to experience that. I want to give us four quick things here this morning of our responsibility. And this is a responsibility for all of us. As Jesus stepped toward us, we have that choice in life, and there is no fence sitting. Either we accept Jesus and we step toward Him, or we reject Him and we don't. And if you choose to step toward Jesus, then your responsibility is this, is to step toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you may not need it today, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when you will need it. You will need your brothers and sisters in Christ. And friends, I'm here to tell you that when that day comes, you will be so thankful that you stepped toward them in love and in faith and out of your love for them. If it's done out of anything else other than love, it's done with the wrong motive, with the wrong reason. But the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to be devoted to one another. In verse 10, we're told to be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. I want us to notice the imagery here. When Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, he's giving us the imagery of a family in the Lord. And the imagery here is being united in Christ, being united as one in the Lord. That's the imagery. There's none that are greater or lesser. We are all united. We are all one in Christ. We are all in Jesus Christ. We are all seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We are all one spirit with Jesus. All of us have one Father, that being God. All of us have one Savior, that being Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so when we are being devoted to one another in brotherly love, it's this loving participation that shows through attitudes, through actions, through what we do and why we do it. It's not so much of what we do as to the core of how we go about it and what we do in how we step toward others. That's at the core, to be devoted to one another. Friends, the Apostle Paul is saying, the members of the spiritual family, that being the family of God, and you and I have all been adopted into God's family. We've been bought with a price. He's saying that we should do everything in our power to be and to remain devoted to one another in tender affection. And I'm just going to say this. There's many people here, and many times things happen in life, and I'm one person. And there's not any possible way or feasible way that I can be involved with all of you. At the last church, I worked with the Recovery Ministries, and there was a small group. There were six of us, and I'll be brutally honest with you, every week I touched base with them on the phone. It would take me all week to touch base with everybody on the phone. But that's authentic community. Authentic community when I would talk with Tim and Josh and Chip and Stan and all of the rest. How you doing? And you know what happened? Eventually those phone calls started coming back toward me. And when I started receiving the phone call, they were asking me the same questions. And that's authentic community, because when they were down and they were trying to get their good footing in Christ, then I was lifting them up. And then its turn came about full circle, and they were placing phone calls to me. That, my friends, is a wonderful picture of authentic community, and that is exactly how God has intended us to be devoted one to another in brotherly love. The second thing that we need to grasp is we need to be unflagging in zeal. Verse 11 says, "Never come on behind in showing enthusiasm." I love that. Never come on behind in showing enthusiasm. Don't lack behind. Be aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord. And notice with me, if you will, that the source of our enthusiasm is not from us. It's not man-made. It's not manufactured. The source of our enthusiasm is from Christ and Christ alone. It's from the Lord. And when we separate ourselves out from the authentic community, we are missing the divine opportunity for an individual to be that spark in our heart and in our soul, to be that spark to set us aflame, to be aglow in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I've experienced it, and it's a pretty cool thing. To be encouraged, to be exhorted. I got a friend back home that I could pick up the phone this afternoon with him, or he has called me in the last couple weeks, and we don't talk very often, but we pick up right where we left off. And every time I get off the phone with him, it's as if I am encouraged. I am, you know, just exhorted to go on, to pursue the goal, to claim the prize, to be everything that Jesus has asked us to be. That's authentic community. See, if we give and give and give and give and we never receive, there's something amiss there. Authentic community is being unflagging in zeal, being unflagging or not lagging, not being behind and showing our enthusiasm, but being aglow with the Spirit. That one small ember, that one small hot coal might be the very thing that you or I need that day. And it's the glow of the Holy Spirit in a believer glowing toward you and to me. The third thing that is our duty here is to trust in the Lord. And one last note about unflagging in zeal. And when this happens, this will lead to an active overflow of the igniting of the Holy Spirit from one believer to the other. I want us to hear that. It's an active overflow. It's a contagious thing. It's an infectious thing. It's not a static thing. It's not something that just goes out. It's something that is absolutely contagious and infectious from one person to the other. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody like that, and I have several times, and when you're around them, you leave all the more richer. You leave all the more fulfilled and all the more just ready to go conquer the world. Why? Because the glow, the Spirit within, is being ignited. And it's from deep calling to deep. The Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in that person is igniting. You take a fire and you separate out the embers and you separate out the coals, and what happens? They eventually die and wither away and go out. You put all those hot coals together and the flame comes up. That's God's picture for authentic community. The third thing is trusting the Lord. Verse 12, "Be joyful in hope, enduring in affliction, and persistent in prayer." You see, the hope of a future salvation produces present joy. And I don't know about you, but joy, biblical joy, is calm delight. Biblical joy is something that this world can't erase, something that this world cannot eliminate. Biblical joy is when I see God's movement and transformation, grace in the heart and in the life of another believer. That's biblical joy. Biblical joy is absolutely, it's that calm delight of knowing and acknowledging that Jesus is going to work in the community and within the body of believers. To rejoice in hope. We should rejoice in it. We should rejoice in it and what it guarantees you and I. If we are trusting in the Lord, our eyes are set upon God, and our love for God is true and authentic and genuine, then we're going to love the believers and experience that authentic community. Lastly, we need to be yielded. In verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to the hospitality. Another translation states this way, and it says, help to relieve the needs of the saints, eagerly practicing hospitality. I want us to understand that the literal translation of that phrase, practice hospitality, literally means to pursue the love of strangers. Back in the Apostle Paul's day when, you know, he was writing this letter, individuals would go town to town and city to city and they would proclaim the gospel. And I remember this when I was a kid. I remember seeing groups would come and they would stay at mom and dad's house and they would just be strangers. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is speaking of, is that if we are yielded to what God wants us to do, if we are so surrendered and so submitted to the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, then there will be those opportunities to step out, to be what we need to be, not only just for our church, but also for the watching world, for those outside. If you've ever met somebody that you never knew, and yet you knew there was a kindred spirit, there was united in one, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. It's the recommendation for the early Christians that he's saying that who traveled, it would be a special mark of the unity and harmony of the congregation. And I'm going to state this next statement twice. You see, when we separate ourselves out, then we become separatists in nature. And when a church separates from the ideals of showing hospitality, hospitality to a certain group or a certain people, then it's departed from the Christian ideal for ministry. You see, the temptation for Christians is to be separatists and to separate out from the world and to not be okay with those that are different and might look a little different, might speak a little bit different. And when we separate out, we have then stepped away from the ideals of what God has set up the church to be. Friends, the church is for everyone. There's no group that is exempt. There's no group that is not welcome here. And I hope that you all share that same feeling with me. Because authentic community says there is no parameters on this. I'm not saying that we can just throw all caution to the wind. That's not what I'm saying. There are elements in this world and in this life where we need to be wise and we need to be good stewards. But we cannot expect people to look a certain way, to act a certain way, especially when they were coming into Christ and they are a new believer or worse yet, not a believer at all. So our authentic community needs to bind us together, needs us to support us one another. But it also can't be limited to our community here. We need to be yielded to the working of God. We need to be yielded to God's will and God's heart and God's desire. And so our duty here is to be devoted to one another, to be unflagging in zeal, to trust in the Lord and to be yielded to God's will. And as I close here this morning, may we all accept the duty. And if you notice with me, if you're writing those down, it's an acronym spelling our duty, our responsibility that we have been given from the Lord, the duty to be devoted to one another, the duty to be unflagging in zeal, and the duty to trust in the Lord, and the duty to be fully yielded to God's leading. Friends, when we accept our duty, then and only then we will experience authentic community. But authentic community doesn't last here. Doesn't start here. This is worship. So my challenge for all of us is this, is to step toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. We have several small groups happening here. We have several, you know, good groups that are taking place, and they are experiencing the vibrant, authentic community of which I'm talking about, these several small groups. But if we never become vulnerable, if we never step out, if we never step toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will always be on the outside and we will always wonder what's going on and we're always going to be struggling because we're not separating, putting ourselves in a position to experience God's presence. My challenge for all of us, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, is to get plugged in, to step toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. Get involved in a small group, an authentic community. So what are you going to do this week? What am I going to do this week? What are you going to change this week? What am I going to change this week? You see, if we continue to do the same things over and over again, we'll never get different results. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for your challenge. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Jesus, that you have called us to live in authentic community, that you wired us this way, you created us this way, and that is exactly something that we long for, we crave, and we yearn after. And so, Jesus, we just pray that you would give us all courage, give us all strength, that you would enable us to step forward, to step out. And Jesus, if there's anyone here that needs directed and guidance, I pray, Lord, you would give them courage to see exactly where they need to step to, that you above all would be glorified in those groups of authentic community, in those times where life is experienced, life is shared. And so, Father, may you be blessed, may you be honored, and may you be praised. And we pray this in the holy and the wonderful name of Jesus our Savior, we pray. Amen.